Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
On the poll workers to take the machines home. That was so they didn't have to get up so early to go to the polls. They can take them home with them and then take them to the polls in the morning. And meanwhile, some good computer geek sitting home there, okay, let me work on this baby. That's what I think might be going on. I don't know. Hey, we're going to pause for news. Coming up at the top of the hour, listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Got a whole lot more for you coming up in the second hour. We hope you'll participate as well at 866-546-5254. We'll be back right after the news.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Millions of workers nationwide have no paid sick days. That includes 5.4 million in California, 40% of the state's workforce. California's Healthy Families, Healthy Workplaces Act would change that by requiring employers to provide 5 to 9 paid sick days per year for workers. A new report on the public health effects of this proposal shows it would improve public health in California. Dr. Rajiv Bhatta co-wrote the report.
Workers with paid sick days were more likely to go to doctors for preventative care, to take time off when sick, and to care for their own children when their children were sick. We were really struck by the fact that those with the greatest need for paid sick days had the least access. California workers in poor health and with chronic diseases like hypertension were less likely to have paid sick days.
Alicia Hershey is a San Francisco restaurant worker who sees the need for paid sick days firsthand.
When people are sick, we tend to come into work anyway because we need to make that money for that shift. So I know as a restaurant worker myself, I rarely take off sick time, even when, you know, you might have a cough or a cold, and then that gets spread around to the people that you work with, and then not taking the time off to care for oneself ends up perpetuating that illness and having it, you know, affect one's life in maybe a longer time period and in a more dangerous way.
Harvard's Dr. Jody Hyman says it's possible to mandate paid sick days and remain economically competitive. Just look at the rest of the world.
To me, one of the most compelling pieces of evidence is just how many countries around the world are able to do this. 145 countries around the world have some kind of paid sick leave.
Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services Linda Gibbs says a new poverty guideline in New York City has raised the income considered to be poverty level for a working family of four. The revised guideline is more than $6,000 higher than the current federal poverty standard of $20,444.
Here in New York City, it's $26,138. So it recognizes the increased cost of living, the changes in the basket of goods and services that people need to have in order to meet their daily expenses.
Gibbs says this poverty guideline revision in New York City recognizes the need to reevaluate what modern poverty really is, given the rising cost of living. The AFL-CIO is reaching out to 600,000 union voters in the swing states of Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The Labor Federation is attempting to accurately define Senator Barack Obama to those voters. Mailers are going out to union households in these key battleground states in an effort to counter misperceptions and false information being circulated about Obama. The mailers include testimonials from workers on Senator Obama's record on jobs, health care reform, and workers' rights. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Every vet respects John McCain's war record. It's his record in the Senate that I have a problem with. He wants us to keep spending $10 billion a month in Iraq, just like Bush. That's money we could use to build schools and roads and create needed jobs here at home. He even took sides with Bush against increasing health care benefits for veterans. People should let John McCain know. His agenda is not what we need. Not now.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation! Life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back. Hope you learned something from the news. Always something to be learned on our news. Always something to be learned here on the Guy James Show. That's what it's all about. Maybe a little entertainment, but mostly information. Information that you can use. Information that you can process and use with your friends, your family, your acquaintances, and all that to bring them around to the proper view. That's right. We're all one big team here, and we get together and exchange information, and that way we can see what's right and what's wrong and what needs to be promoted and not. Anyway, thank you for joining us here on the Guy James Show. It's very, very good to have you along with us today. We were supposed to have, at this time today, a gentleman by the name of David Johnson. And David Johnson is CEO of Strategic Vision, LLC, which is a company. He's a veteran Republican consultant and pollster. And he worked on Bob Dole's 1988 presidential campaign, and he's overseen numerous campaigns across the nation. And we were going to have him on today to discuss how this Senator Stevens issue has hurt the Republicans in the Senate. And he's come down ill today with a sore throat, and he's at home and not at the office, so we won't be having him on today. And that's too bad, because I watched Senator Stevens' video this morning of him, giving himself up and appearing in court. I don't care how old he is. What is he, 84, 86? Too old to be a senator, frankly. But I think there comes a time when a person ought to understand that maybe they're not what they used to be. I don't care. It's nothing against old people whatsoever. I hope to be one someday. But if I'm 84, 86 years old, and I've been in the United States Senate for 40 years, I would hope I'd have the good sense to say, hey, my time is done. Let me give somebody else an opportunity to serve. Serve might be the wrong word for Senator Stephen. Senator Stephen, and I think time will bear this out, and sooner than later, because I see his trial is going to begin even before his primary election, sometime in September. God only knows how long it'll take for the trial, but I'll believe that if I see it, if they actually have a trial in September. But it appears that this man is as dirty a politician as has ever come down the pike. It appears that politics in Alaska are as dirty as things get anywhere. It appears that Mayor Daley could have learned a thing or two about the politicians from Alaska. Here we have Senator Ted Stephen, United States Senator, has been ratted out by a corporate guy, I can't think of his name right now, for taking huge payoffs from him in the way of furniture and having his house remodeled, I think to the tune of about $250,000. His son is also being investigated. He's in the House of Representatives in Alaska now? Is he still in there? It seems the Stevens family's had their own private little fiefdom in Alaska. And understanding that Stevens has brought home something like $3 billion in pork to Alaska, I can understand why the voters there might want to keep the guy in office. But don't you become a good citizen at one time or another and say, hey, the pork's not worth it, it's not worth the shame of having a corrupt United States senator and having their state house up there, from what I understand, is all intertwined in this, what, Vico deal. They actually had hats made, the Corrupt Bastards Club. It's so blatant and so open. These people taking payoffs, there's several of them under investigation for taking cash from this Vico guy. Why do the people of a state let that go on? Even though he's brought a bunch of dollars back to that state, why do they let it go on? Now, this guy, let's just tell it like it is. Senator Ted Stevens is an ass. He's a guy that's not well liked by most of the people in the Senate. The guy actually wears a incredible Hulk tie on certain days in the United States Senate to let everybody know not to mess with him. That he's going to fight hard that day. People like Ted Stevens, and we could go on and on about Alaskan politicians. You've got your Don Young, their only congressman, been down here in Florida grabbing money for a very obvious quid pro quo on this Interstate 75 interchange that he was trying to get through for a friend of his who owns all the land around where the interchange was going to be. Raised I don't know how much money, just up the road from where I'm sitting right now. So, how's this going to affect the national election, Stevens' own re-election campaign, or as it would seem, are the people of Alaska okay with having a con man as their United States Senator? Are they okay with the allegations that this guy's an out-and-out crook? Is the fact that he's brought home the bacon to Alaska more important than whether or not that he's a criminal? We shall see. It's a waterfall from the Republicans in criminality here this year. We've got Senator Vitters, you know, had his little deal going on there. But at least Stevens isn't involved in a gay sex scandal like Larry Craig or Mark Foley in his little soiree, and Bob Allen of Florida, who is the chairman of McCain's Florida campaign committee, and Glenn Murphy, the junior national chairman of the Young Republicans. So it's our Scooter Libby or Duke Cunningham or Jack Abramoff, all those nice folks. Will voters get the message? Or will the Republican voters say, oh, that's just a few bad apples, and we can't hold them responsible for what's happening there? I do wonder. I do wonder. Who's going to be the VP? We got that sweepstakes going on right now in the McCain side, the McNasty side. We got Bobby Jindal. We got Pawlenty of Minnesota. We got Romney. Who else? I forget who else. And then over in the vice presidential side, we've got Tim Kaine from Virginia that all of a sudden is kind of floating up to the top. We got Kathleen Sebelius from Kansas. We got Evan Bay from Indiana. We've got Joe Biden. Joe says he doesn't want it. What do we end up with? Anybody got the odds-on favorite for this whole thing? I think Hillary's out. It sounds to me like she truly is out of the running for that, so... that disappoints me a little bit, but I would like to see Kathleen Sebelius. I think she would be very good to be in the United States Congress. That would be a good thing. United States Vice Presidency, presiding over the Senate. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program. 866-546-5254. I think we've seen in the past few months... a can of worms opened in Washington, D.C., whereby we have not only seen over the past 7-plus years the most incompetent political administration that we've seen in our lifetime, certainly in the last century. Not only that, but we've seen the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States of America. And the more we dig, the more we find, and one wonders if there will ever be any accountability for any of it. One wonders if Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and Barack Obama, if he becomes new president, if and when he becomes our new president, will want to go back and look through some of these things. I see Obama saying that he will look over some of Bush's personal rulings that he might be, I forget what you call them right now, not signing statements, but he will go back over that and try and change some things if it warrants. But we've got the new story out about Monica Goodling and the Department of Justice and Pat Robertson's Regent University, which from what we've seen in the Bush administration, that Regent University, the Bush administration just awash with these faux lawyers from Regent University. How the hell did this school even get accredited? I mean, either they specialize in graduating zombie-like liars and prevaricators, or they have no idea what the real law degree is supposed to be. Because is there such a thing as faith-based law? This Monica Goodling gets in Alberto Gonzalez's Department of Justice, and she's given a free hand to come up with her own criteria for who ought to be in the Justice Department and who didn't, and it boiled down to politics on non-political appointments. It boiled down to faith and whether or not someone was gay or knew anybody was gay or whether their relatives were of a different political party. What kind of a government is this? And what kind of a president of the United States would sanction something? Well, I think we know. I think we do know. And yet the Democrats have sat here and not done a damn thing about it. The Democrats have made us so proud in the last few years. The Military Commissions Act, the Terry Schiavo deal, the war funding over and over and over again, the war funding, giving Bush the okay to go into Iraq, and oh, people like Justice Roberts and Alito and Alberto Gonzalez and the FISA and the telecommunications immunity and the Medicare giveaway to the big pharmacy and impeachment off the table. The Democrats have done us very proud, have they not? I have not in my lifetime been so disappointed over Congress as I have been, and I still don't understand what Nancy Pelosi was saying the other night when she was talking about this Republican Congress. I would like to discuss that with her. I really would. 866-546-5254. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment or two.
We're voting Republican because we don't like shopping at small neighborhood stores.
We don't want the problem of choosing where to shop.
And we just love cheap plastic crap from China.
I'm voting Republican because I don't really want a cure for AIDS or breast cancer. They're just gays and women.
I'm voting Republican because I think new drugs should be made available immediately, whether they've been tested properly or not. If the major pharmaceutical companies' bottom lines are healthy, then I feel healthy too.
Bye-bye, baby. Have a good day. I'm voting Republican so that my little Caitlin can be in the classroom with at least 30 other children. That way, she can be challenged by fighting for attention.
I'm voting Republican because women just can't be trusted to make decisions about their own bodies. Never, ever, ever.
I'm voting Republican because I've already seen a great outdoors. Continuing our use of fossil fuels freely is far more important than preserving our natural wetlands.
We're voting Republican because we like a conservative majority on the Supreme Court.
We really like knowing that even if we're separate, we'll still be called equal.
I'm voting Republican because I need to be told who I can love.
I told you.
Honey, I need the government to tell me.
I just need them to tell me how I can best show a lifetime commitment.
And Republicans are just the folks to do that, sweetheart.
I'm voting Republican because corporations should not have to pay to clean up environmental damage. The EPA is an outmoded idea. If people want clean water, buy it in a bottle.
I'm voting Republican because I don't want to know if the food I'm eating has been genetically modified or exposed to radiation. I don't want to have to live with that fear, you know? So, if the label says it's food, that's good enough for me.
I'm voting Republican because
I really enjoy being screwed by the utility companies.
We need more minorities in prison.
Because hybrid cars really suck.
I just don't feel I deserve health insurance.
Because Texas needs more billionaires.
I'm voting Republican because sometimes the Constitution is just one big inconvenient headache.
I think the whole world should be run by one big corporation. I think it'd be so much cozier.
Because all other countries are inferior to us.
We should start as many wars as we need to keep it that way.
So I can stay in Iraq.
So I can go to Iran.
So if you were thinking about voting something besides Republican, don't bother. Stay home. We've got it all taken care of. You'll get exactly what you deserve.
Listen to the Guy James Show. Welcome back. Good to have you along with us this afternoon. I was sitting here thinking a while ago. I was mentioning some of the criminality of the Bush administration and the corruption in the Bush administration. I thought, my God, I didn't even scratch the surface of that. It's literally stunning when you stop and think about what's taken place over the past few years, and the American people have just sat here and said, okay, we'll take it. We don't care what you do. Now, the thing I'd like to know is, Is this something that the American people just, well, they're all like that, so maybe these guys are not as bad at crooks as some of the others we could elect, so we'll just keep putting them in there, we'll keep allowing this. Washington's crooked, what do we care? We can't do anything about it anyway. What is it? Or do they think that the crimes committed these people are by these people aren't really that bad? That they just kind of hedged a little bit. They just were around the edge. You know, they didn't really mean. That the Democrats are being nasty people and accusing these good men and women of criminality. What do you suppose it is? We see Tom DeLay, for example, going around the country still, speaking to Christian groups. Yes, that's right. Invited to fundamentalist Christian churches all over the country. Tom DeLay speaking, getting speaking fees, and his expenses, and speaking to Republican groups. This is a man that's disgraced. That's absolutely disgraced. This isn't a man whom we said had an affair with an intern or something. This is a guy who had his hand out. This is a guy who was involved with Jack Abramoff. This is a scumbucket, Tom DeLay. Grover Norquist, Ralph Reed, both of those guys cleaned out some American Native American tribes. Cleaned them out, tens of millions of dollars. Made off with all their money in some cases, and they're sitting there fat and happy with the money, and hey, we screwed the Native Americans, isn't that a shame? We had the White House denying the fact that they had any... we didn't know Jack Abramoff. We didn't know him. Wait a minute. Here's a picture of Jack Abramoff with the president, but that was just at a Christmas party, so we don't really have any knowledge of that here at the White House. Do you know that the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform earlier this year came out with their report that found that Jack Abramoff and the Bush administration had 485 contracts. 485 contracts between Jack Abramoff and the Bush administration. How many people in the public know that? I know many people in the public know Jack Abramoff is in prison. That he committed some sort of crime, screwed somebody out of some money, whatever. Just another white-collar criminal in prison. Do they understand that Jack Abramoff had 485 contacts between himself and the Bush administration? 485 contacts. When the White House first said, well, no. We know, according to that report, that some officials in the White House have admitted that they really thought Abramoff was a really great guy. And that they went to him for recommendations and advice. Jack Abramoff. Now here's the thing. Jack Abramoff is in prison, and I think he's serving, 5 years, something like that. And I don't think he can get out before that, but I'm not sure. He's doing time in a federal prison in Maryland. And do you know why he's doing time in a federal prison in Maryland? It's because they're going to talk to him every chance they get, and he's handy to Washington, D.C. there to get him to squeal. And he is squealing. He's singing like a canary. And there are people all over Washington, D.C. and outside of it that are they're definitely scared to death that the FBI is going to come knocking on their doors because Abramoff, their good friend, who enjoyed millions of dollars of illicit profits along with these people, is going to turn them in. Now, Abramoff is in federal prison for 5 years, but he has not been sentenced yet for a bunch of other crimes that he's been indicted for. He's been indicted for tax evasion and defrauding the Indian tribes and bribery in and around Washington, D.C. And insiders know that the FBI is squeezing Abramoff, maybe to get a reduced sentence, no doubt, on his part. And there are a lot of people who are sweating this out, whether or not he's going to turn him in. But in the meantime, you've got Tom DeLay. You got Grover Norquist, this anti-tax bastard in Washington, D.C. that he whistles and says jump, and the Republicans ask how high. He's led that anti-tax movement for a long time, been very popular. It's just interesting that these people, and as I mentioned, this Monica Goodling, and now we see this Alaskan Republican Ted Stevens. It's just Stevens had dealings with Jack Abramoff. That's right. He got campaign money from Jack Abramoff. What's Jack Abramoff giving money to a senator in Alaska for? Also, Stevens got, what was it, over $16,000 or $17,000 from Native American tribes. Not in Alaska. So that just goes to how far the corruption goes in this administration from bottom, top to bottom. If I were the new, president, if I were Barack Obama and I were being elected president, I think I would tell everybody in Washington that's not a career person, just clean out your desk as of the 20th. I mean, a lot of them do anyway, but get the hell out and don't come back and just beat it. One has to wonder if there's anybody in this Bush administration that's honest. And I mean that. You look over their record over the past few years, you have to wonder if any of them are honest whatsoever. And here you've got your John McNasty trying to run a third Bush campaign, and he's getting down and dirty with the campaign now, as ugly as always. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. How are you doing today?
Well, good.
Well, I just wanted to touch base with you to see what your take is on Obama injecting race into everything today. What's been the conversation today about that?
Well, I think he's exactly right.
You think so?
You're not going to tell me that the good old boys in Texas and Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee, you're not going to tell me there's not a bit of anti-Obama vote there because of racism, hardcore racism?
Oh, I won't say there's none, but to say that that's the majority, I think that's wrong. I don't think that you're racist because you sit there and you talk about Michael Steele like he's the devil himself.
Michael Steele?
Yeah.
When did I ever say Michael Steele was the devil himself?
Well, you don't have to say it that way, but you talk about him and some of the other black leaders in the Republican Party, other black elected officials.
Who are those? Once again, you want to tell me all the members of the black members of the Republican Congress?
Oh, in the Congress, none. But I'm
no, why is that, you suppose, Mike?
I imagine because people like the left and all that stuff keep hammering them down and keep saying their Uncle Toms, like Lynn Swann, for instance, running for position there in Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
And they keep running people down like that. And so they don't have an opportunity to advance anymore because the left...
Well, I don't know, Mike. It seems to me over on the other side of the aisle, there are quite a few folks there of color. Why would it just be that Republicans don't have any? You know, going to Congress, wouldn't you be an Uncle Tom if you were on either side of the aisle?
I'll tell you what, it would seem that way, but that just doesn't seem to be the way it is, does it?
Well, absolutely it appears to be the way it is. There are zero Republicans in the United States Congress of color.
Does it make you a racist because you disagree with Michael Steele's political viewpoint? Just because he happens to be black, should not even enter into the discussion. Why is Obama putting race into the discussion?
You don't think that ad yesterday was racist?
Which ad are you
just happened
about?
To have a couple of blondes in that thing, just like they did to Harold Ford in Tennessee. Just happened to say, oh, you know, there's a couple of blondes. He's a celebrity. This guy, he's an uppity nigger. That's what he is. He's uppity.
Those people.
He's a celebrity nigger. That's right. That's what he is. That's what the. Why don't they say it?
Because that's not what they think. Apparently, it's the ones on the left that think that, guys.
Oh.
The ones that always keep bringing it up.
I see. So we don't put any black folks in the Congress on our side because we're dead set against them and over on the other side. You know, it's painful. It's amazing.
It's not about black and white to me.
It isn't?
I don't.
Maybe it isn't to you, but you think it isn't in your party?
There may be some, but there's just as many or more in the Democrat Party.
I'm asking you to show me that. The best barometer that I can possibly think of is to look at the United States Congress. Not one single black person in the United States Congress. Not one.
If that is your only measure...
That's not my only measure, but I think it's the best one, don't you?
No, I don't.
What would be the best one?
What the Democratic Party has been successful in doing is convincing black people that... They are their party. They are looking out for them.
Oh, so they're stupid then. They'd have to be stupid to believe the Democrats then, right?
The thing is, they are, no, they've been scared.
Oh.
The racist stuff that they say about Republicans, and they simply haven't sat down and looked at all the different things. We have not done it.
I didn't realize those black folks were that stupid, that they could have that stuff pulled over their eyes like that. Mike,
so I guess the Democratic Party thinks they're very stupid because they keep going out there telling them they're going to fix this problem and that problem.
And they keep electing them to the United States Congress that they think are so stupid, don't they?
Not a whole lot has changed.
You tell me one thing the Republican Party's done for black folks in this country. Give me an example.
Well, you won't like it, but they put more money back in their pockets. Just like they have most all of Americans.
More money back in their pockets. How is that?
Tax cut. And home ownership has happened, and that's not just a Republican or a Democrat thing.
Tax cuts.
You know? Yeah.
Tax cuts, yeah.
Mike,
you're not going to get away with that one. You know, most people in this country, great majority of people, that tax cut, if you'll pardon the thing, didn't amount to a fart in a windstorm. It didn't amount to anything for most people. And most people I know...
It may not have meant a whole lot for people who didn't have a bunch of kids, but for people who have kids, each week got an extra $1,000 per kid.
Oh, yeah.
That does help. That's,
yeah, they all got rich off of that. But you're really telling me that the black folks have been taken in by the Democrats, and I think you'll have to agree that if you're going to get taken in by somebody, you wouldn't be real smart, would you?
I don't think that's it at all.
You said they've been taken in by the Democrats.
I'm not saying they're stupid, though.
You know, you said they've been taken in, that they've been convinced by the Democrats. You're talking about millions of people been taken in by these Democrats.
I just disagree with you guys. I don't think black people are stupid by any measure.
Well, you said they've been taken in by these Democrats. Have been
taken in and being stupid are two different things, guy.
Oh, no, they're not. Oh, no, they're not.
We'll agree to disagree.
Well, let me ask you another thing here.
We're getting off of the subject. I asked you a question about Obama. Why is Obama introducing race?
He didn't introduce race. He did not introduce race at all.
He most certainly did whenever he said they're going to try to scare.
Listen, here's one thing you better get used to, Mike.
Because I don't look like the rest of those people on the dollar bills. What's that supposed to mean?
That's... It's just supposed to respond to the innuendo coming from the other side. You know, and I know that that's going to be an issue in this campaign. You know it is.
Only because your side keeps bringing it up.
I tell you, if you deny that the sun was coming up in the morning, that there's...
Absolutely not, guys. Absolutely not.
The good old solid South isn't racist, huh?
I'll tell you one thing. Here in Texas...
Let me ask you a question. Is the good old solid South racist or not?
No. I can tell you right here about Texas, we have some very, very promising people that are coming up through the Republican Party here in the state of Texas. One of our...
How many of them are in the state legislature?
I couldn't tell you the exact number, but there's quite a few.
Mm-hmm. Out of the percentage?
I don't know what the percentage would be, probably 30%.
30% of the Texas legislature is black.
Probably so. You have 135 or so on the House side, and you got 31 senators. So you can look it up if you want to.
I will.
But I can tell you a few.
You know, Mike, I don't have to go very far to discover racism and hatred coming from the right, the right-wing people, your Limbaughs and Hannitys. I don't have to go very far. All I have to do is go back to, like, Sunday night. All I have to do is quote you that manifesto from that guy that went into that Unitarian Universalist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and pulled out a shotgun and killed people and said he did it because they were liberals and because they were homosexuals. And then they go to his house, and what do they find, Mike? They find some that his reading materials happen to be Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Michael Savage. Do I have to tell you any more than that right there to tell you the kind of hatred that Barack Obama is addressing that's going on in this country? Do I have to go any farther? They preach that every day.
That's bull, and you know
it's bull. Is that wrong? What they found in his house?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
The police chief, if you don't want to believe him, the police chief of Knoxville says that is what they found in his house, and that's what his note contained, and that's why he said he did it, because he hated liberals and he hated homosexuals, and he's going to kill them.
What would they find in your house? What kind of books would they find in your house?
They wouldn't find anything like that, I can guarantee you.
Well, you get hundreds of books from publishers, and I'm quite sure you get some from the
right. I don't get anybody from crazy people like Michael Savage that says that autism is a figment of people's imagination. You've been preaching hate, and I don't mean you personally, but your side has preached hate and fear for so many years now you don't know any other way to do it. And don't you kid yourself that this McCain campaign won't disintegrate in the dirtiest, most foul campaign you have seen in your lifetime. They've taken on all the people that they can from the past campaigns, from the Bush campaign, and from Karl Rove's people to try and make this the dirtiest, rottenest campaign. They're not talking about John McCain. They're talking about Barack Obama. That's all.
Do you think Barack Obama's campaign hasn't gone back and taken some of the people from past elections? That's absolutely ludicrous.
Ludicrous? Have there been any Swift voters in the past campaign? Have there been any Swift voters in the campaign from the Democrats? You tell me that. Have there?
I don't know which one.
Have there been any Swift voters from Democrats that have done bullshit like they did against John Kerry? You tell me that. Have there? Name me one. Name me one.
Can't sit here and name one.
No, you cannot, because there has never been a campaign run against Republicans like that.
What about Ludacris? Ludacris himself. He's supposed to be a big buddy of...
So now you're making a musician. What he writes, that's something that Barack Obama is all for.
Do you... Well, apparently he said he's a great talent and a great businessman. Now, come on. And then... Drop it like it's
Mike,
not,
it's you are so
wrong,
head up your ass Republican, you don't even know what you're talking about.
To
bring up ludicrous about this is ludicrous. That's got nothing to do with anything.
It does. It has to do with what you're talking about. You're saying that the right is fomenting hatred. What in the name of hell do you think all that gangster rap BS is? All that is promoting anger and hostility.
Is that connected with the Democratic Party?
Absolutely. That's what you got with all these people that are sitting there. There ain't nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do about it.
You show me a connection with the donors of the Democratic Party and Ludacris, and I'll kiss your ass at sunrise in Houston. You show me an association with Democratic donors and Ludacris, and I'll just do that.
Well, I guess you better get puckering up, because Ludacris having fundraiser for Obama.
I said, you show me where the Democratic donors are supporting Ludacris and giving him funds like those Swift Boat people did. You're not going to find a case of that, not ever. Don't give me that Hollywood crap about the Hollywood people. They don't matter a whit to me. They don't matter to anybody.
But they're part of what is being fomented and encouraged by
You know, you're
Obama.
Just sounding nuts. They're not part of the Democratic Party. They're not associated with the Democratic Party. I bring up your Jack Abramoffs. I bring up the people that are associated with the Democrat, with the Republicans.
What about Tony Resco? And what about Mr. Chu or whatever his name was? What about those guys? You want to sit here and you want to talk about people on the quote right? What about your people on the left?
You got somebody on a par with Jack Abramoff?
Probably Tony Resco.
Oh, you're just so, my friend, you're so totally uninformed. You have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea. Jack Abramoff had infested Republican parties from the party from the top down through almost every segment of government he had his tentacles in. We've got people running scared right now on account of Tony Resco, a local thug in Chicago. Got nothing to do with the Democratic Party. Jack Abramoff was running the Republican Party.
Where is he now? I don't think he's running the Republican Party.
I said he was. He's in prison, and he's singing like a canary, and there's more people going to go down because of it.
I wonder how many Democrats will go down.
What, from Jack Abramoff?
Yeah.
None that I know of.
Well, we do. We put our people who go corrupt, we put ours in jail.
Do you now? Is Karl Rove in jail? Is Dick Cheney in jail? Is Scooter Libby in jail?
I thought Karl Rove fled the country. But yet I saw he was in Indiana the other day for a fundraiser.
Fled the country? He fled the country to avoid going to answering a subpoena.
Well, that's kind of funny because if you flee the country, I mean, you don't get to come back. The subpoena's still there, is it not?
Obviously, you don't know anything about the law. The day he was supposed to appear for the subpoena is the day he was supposed to be there. The subpoena doesn't last ad infinitum. Mike, you're an amalgamation of all the right-wing talkers. You must listen to them a lot. You come up with the same foolish innuendos and ideas as things without any basis in fact that they do every single day.
Well, let me talk about one other thing. And, you know, you talking the other day, I was listening to one of your podcasts, and you were talking about how the Republicans are lying about him not visiting the troops in Germany.
Absolutely.
And when the Pentagon comes out and says they were prepared and ready for him to come.
Uh-huh.
They had extra duty people. They were ready for him. And then the timeline shows that he was not able to bring his entourage and all that stuff, so they canceled the thing. Now, that doesn't mean Obama did it, because I think Obama's probably a little smarter than that. But one of his handlers or one of his campaign people, that was a pretty big fumble on that one, because it's never inappropriate to visit the troops. I don't care what they say.
And so that's what you believe happened.
I can't prove that happened, and nobody can.
And so you don't want to believe Andrea Mitchell or any of the press people that were there and said that didn't happen. You don't want to believe them, right?
No.
Stop right there. Do you want to believe that Andrea Mitchell and other press people that there said categorically that did not happen? You don't want to believe that.
Well, I guess you've got one group saying one thing.
No. We don't have one group saying. We've got Pentagon people.
There's Pentagon people that approved the timeline and said this is the way it happened.
They did approve the timeline. But when Barack Obama got there and saw that it was going to be a problem, not to bring his photo people in and all that, because as the press people said, he never had any intentions of doing that. Never. Never. So, in other words, Andrea Mitchell and the people were there and saw this with their own eyes. With their own eyes, you just don't believe any of them.
Why did he quit? Why did he stop? Why did he not go?
He didn't go because he didn't want to make it an issue.
It's a freaking campaign tour.
He had just been to visit other wounded troops.
Yeah, but not the ones in Germany.
Oh, I see.
It was on the agenda to go.
You know what, Mike? The McCain campaign is so goddamn envious of that trip. They know that Barack Obama...
This trip.
They went out. They know that Barack Obama scored a lot of points on that trip. They know that he looked like a statesman. And here's what they know most of all. They know that people in other countries got to look at an American who could bring honor back to this country again. That's what they got to see. And they are hating that.
They didn't come there to see Obama. They came to see a rock concert before he was there to speak.
Oh, I see.
That's 200 things that they're doing.
Mike, somebody on the chat room just now has summed it up that you are batshit right wing crazy, and you won't believe anything anybody says. You've got it in your head that whatever your right wing websites and talkers tell you is the truth. And Mike, that just makes you a freaking idiot. I'm not going to waste any more time with him. Is he not the perfect example? Is he not the perfect example of what I talk about day in and day out on this program? We have half the press in the United States standing there at that deal with Obama and seeing these wounded troops, saying that what the McCain people said happened did not happen because they saw it with it. The McCain people didn't see it. They weren't there. You see, that's the difference. They weren't there. They made up a story about it, and they tell the story, and the press people were there and saw it and reported what they saw, and it was exactly the opposite of what the McCain people said. Exactly the opposite, and yet Mike won't believe it because it's not what he wants to believe. He doesn't want to believe anything about racism, that there aren't any black folks in the Republican Congress, in the Republican Congress, because there's not racism involved. He doesn't want to believe that. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I've been going to institute, and I'll get to the phones in just one second. I want to institute, I know Chris Matthews has got his... Keith Olbermann. He's got his worst person in the world thing and all that like that. I planned on instituting our clown club today. We had the other day we said McNasty was a clown, and yesterday we said somebody else was a clown. I had somebody picked out for our clown club of the day, and I'm going to have to give it to Mike from Houston. Mike overrode the clown that I had here. Mike, you are the Guy James Show Clown Club member of the day. It's just amazing to me that people like that exist. It really is. He's one of those drill, drill, drill people. And by the way, aren't those a hoot these days? You've got the oil companies themselves. The oil companies themselves saying they're not going to produce any oil from these new drillings for 7, 8, 10 years. The oil companies themselves. And yet you got people like Mike running around, no, they'll have it in 6 months. And it'll drop the price of gas way down. Yeah, it's going to be great. Mathaw has a good idea. So send him a plaque. Clown Club. First initial Clown Club member. But I'll have to do that. Get a little engraving on. It's a good idea, Matt. It's a good idea. Oh, well, anyway. You know what scares you? Is to know that there's 51 million people like Mike around. But I don't want to be on Mike. Mike's probably a good guy. He's just pretty misinformed. There's 51 million people like him pulled the lever last time around. And let me tell you something. You know as well as I do. You know as much as they're trying to put distance between themselves and George W. Bush. Most of them say, well, you know, it didn't work out the way I wanted to. I voted for him twice, but McCain will be okay. If Junior Bush, you can bet your hind end on this, if Junior Bush were running for a third term right now, those people would vote for him again. You know they would. You know they would. Mike would. Wouldn't you, Mike? You'd vote for him again. Hey, we'd vote for him again because there's a black guy running for president of the United States, and we can't have that. No, sirree. We can't have that. But then again, there's no racism in the Republican Party. Hey, listen, I'm not going to sit here and say there aren't any Democrats that are racist either, because there are. But I think we know who's got the most. And all we have to do is look at the United States Congress. The idea that Democrats have coerced the entire black population of the United States, that the Republicans are no good, and that the Democrats are. You couldn't state it more blatantly than that, that the entire black population of the United States, you're just saying they're stupid. They're highly manipulable. You can get them to do anything you want to. All they got to go out and say, hey, don't vote for those nasty Republicans. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do. Vote for Democrats. All of you. If you're black, vote for Democrats. That's all you got to do. You got to go out and tell them. Now, why wouldn't the Republicans, since they own the airwaves and since they got all the talk shows and all that, since they got the big noise machine, and since they got money, why don't they go out and coerce the African Americans in this country and tell them that they, the Republican Party, are the party that's really good for them? I'll tell you why. Because black, white, yellow, whatever, we're all the same intelligence. And people know what's good for them and what's poison for them, and they don't want to take the poison. And the Republican Party's been poison for black folks for forever and ever. So don't give me that. It's absurd on its face, and any thinking person knows that. I don't have to tell you the history of racial equality and equal rights in this country. I don't have to tell you what happened to the legislation of that and all the people that switched over to be Republicans, the Democrats that switched over to be Republicans during that time because they were avowed racist. I don't have to tell you the history of that. Ludicrous indeed. So some rapper comes up with something that's offensive to somebody and the Democratic Party is supposed to suffer for it? I don't think so. I'm not going to hold the Republicans responsible because what was that idiot the other day that, you know, I had fun with it. That actor. Angelina Jolie's father, whatever his name is. I can't think of it anymore. That's the great regard I have for showbiz. But he out and made of an ass of himself in the Washington Times the other day. Made a complete ass of himself in the Washington Times. Do I think that he's a big deal in the Republican Party and he's going to influence a bunch of Republicans and that he's associated with John McNasty and all that? Do I think that? No. I'm smarter than that. He's just some showbiz asshole that had an opinion that doesn't. John Voight, thank you. He's just some showbiz asshole whose opinion doesn't matter to anybody. That's why I made fun of that the other day. And yet Ludacris, why, he's a big-time Democrat, and he's really well-connected in the Democratic Party, and he's got Barack Obama's ear, and he's probably given Barack political advice. Well, I'll tell you. It's been an interesting day. Thank you, Mike. Thank you for calling. Always good for a few moments of entertainment. And it's good. I like that. Don't get me wrong. I may sound a bit antagonistic to him and all that, but I like it when somebody calls like that because I wouldn't have to say another word, would I? You just put somebody like that and say, hey, go ahead, espouse your, give us your opinions on this, and this, and you could listen to it and you go, oh, my God. And you'd be entertained. And no question about it, you'd be entertained. but it's scary on one hand, too. It really is to know that somebody's that narrow-minded, unwilling to listen to reason on anything, never believes you, you know, your lying eyes. I don't know what you could say to somebody I really don't. Hey, we've had a good time here on the program today. I enjoyed being with you. Don't forget to check out freepress.org. Bob Fertakis' website. Mark Levine coming up next. Always a great lineup tonight. Bob after Mark, and we've got Peter coming on later on. It's a great evening, and a lot to listen to. This is the radio network where you really get informed. This is a radio network where you get the straight talk. And Mark always with a good program, and Bob as well, and Peter. So and John, don't forget John Fox. And Billy Shear's show on the weekend, a heck of a show as well, Saturday night, 9 to 12. If you listen to Billy Shear's program, if you don't, you should. Hey, it's been a pleasure being